Third Canto, Chapter 17. Describes the fall of Jayan Vijay. And their birth as the two demons, sons of Diti, and all the inauspicious, like verse after verse after verse, the inauspiciousness created in the universe by their fall. Well, there we go. Chapter 13. Text number 2. Vidura said, Vidura speaking to Maitreya, O great sage, what did Swayambhuva, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? By the way, Swayambhuva Manu and his very loving wife were both born at the same time. In a mature stage. They were born as husband and wife. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. Sri Manu said, O all-powerful Lord, O killer of all sins, I shall abide by your order. Now please tell me my place and that of the living entities born of me. This is Manu speaking to his father, Lord Brahma. O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great water, because it is the dwelling place for all the living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord. Maitreya continued, thus seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. Brahma's given birth to Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu is supposed to reign over the creation. Swayambhuva Manu comes before him and says, I'm ready to do my service, but here's a problem. It's beyond my capacity to address it. Can you take care of it? The earth has plummeted out of its orbit into the lower half of the universe, into the Garbhadak ocean. The Brahma's perplexed too. It's beyond his capacity as well. While I have engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean like a flaw in his creation. But it wasn't a flaw in his creation, it was a demon was disturbing. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It's best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. Still, that's pretty big to come out of a nose. O descendant of Bharat, while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky with a wonderful manifestation as gigantic as a great elephant. Struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, began to argue. I would think that they would begin to pray. They began to argue in different ways. Is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? It is very wonderful that he has come from my nose. First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb. Oh, it's just the tip of a thumb. Within a moment, he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. Is he the personality of Godhead Vishnu? While Brahma was deliberating with his sons, the personality of Godhead Vishnu roared tumultuously like a great mountain. You ever hear a mountain roar? But it must have been very resonating, very deep. It's not it either. Very deep. The omnipotent, supreme personality of Godhead enlivened Brahma and the other highly elevated brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Boar, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas, playing like an elephant. He entered into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers of the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him. Before entering into the water to rescue the earth, Lord Boar flew in the sky, slashed his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds of the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. He was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu and was therefore transcendental. Yet, because he had the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell. Within the water. His tusks were fearful, and he glanced over the devotee brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. Thus he entered the water. Diving into the water like a giant mountain, Lord Boar dived excuse me, divided the middle of the ocean, and two high waves appeared as the arms of the ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, O Lord of all sacrifices, please do not cut me into two, kindly give me protection. Lord Boar penetrated the water with his hooves, which were like sharp arrows, and found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. There's a contradiction. But he's the unlimited, so he can do it. Unlimited for us. He saw the earth, the resting place for all living beings, lying as it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted it. Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then, his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Thereupon, Lord Boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as the elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Then, the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion, like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand him to be this personality of Godhead and offered respectful obeisances to the Lord. And then comes their prayers. Many pages of prayers. That's chapter 13 of Canto 3. And then chapter 18 of Canto 3 reads, the proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. So the previous chapter is Hiranyaksha entered into, it was just to please his brother Hiranyakashipu, he entered into the ocean, came to the abode of Varuna, placed his head at his feet, and said, O great Lord, please give me battle. And Varuna said, you're so proud. You deserve to fight the best. You should fight Lord Vishnu. The proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. He found out from Narada that's where he is. He went to rescue the earth. He saw there the all-powerful personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the ends of his tusks and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed. Oh, amphibious beast! Oh, best of the demigods dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me, you rascal. You have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible, O fool. Your power is only mystic, so today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you. When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifices and devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain, but seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water, just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. The demon, who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." The Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on the water. While the enemy stood looking on, Brahma, the creator of the universe, extolled the Lord, and other demigods rained flowers on him. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. The personality of Godhead said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I have no place to go. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word." Sri Maitreya said, "The demon, being thus challenged by the personality of God, had became angry and agitated, and he trembled in anger, like a challenged cobra, hissing indignantly. All his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death." The personality of God had now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again, and began to repeatedly brandish it about. Then with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow, but since the demon was expert in fighting, O gentle Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon, Hiranyaksha, and the Lord, the personality of God, had struck each other with their huge maces, each enraged and seeking his own victory. There was a keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world. between the demon and the personality of Godhead appeared in the form of a boar. Arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon, who had attained such unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayana, who was assuming the form of a boar for the first time. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigod, the brahmanas, the cows, and the innocent persons who are spotless and always depending upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for his infamous purposes. My dear Lord, there is no need to play with this serpentine demon who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt. My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you, his death ordained by you. Therefore, exhibit your ways, kill him in the duel, and establish the world in peace." Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking fearlessly before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down, whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord's mace fell to the ground, I don't know what ground it is because they're in the Garbhodak Ocean, and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis. The personality of God had acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan disc. As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands, and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had become born as Hiranyaksha, a vile son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you! Pray dispatch him! Play no more with him." When the demon saw the personality of Godhead, who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with a Sudarshan discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of Godhead as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You are slain! O Saint Vidura. While his enemy looked on, the Lord, in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. The Lord then said, take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me. Challenged in these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying towards him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it. With the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent, his valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. Now he took a trident, which was as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmana. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of Godhead, however, tore to pieces with a Sudarshan discus, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. There's a little story how that happened. Once upon a time, Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, snatched away a nectar pot from the hands of the demigods in heaven in order to liberate his mother, Vinita, from the clutches of his stepmother, Kadru, the mother of the serpents. On learning this, Indra, the king of heaven, hurled his thunderbolt against Garuda with a view to respect the infallibility of Indra's weapon. Garuda, though otherwise invincible, being the Lord's own mount, dropped one of his wings, which was shattered to pieces by the thunderbolt. The inhabitants of higher planets are so sensible that even in the process of fighting, they observe the preliminary rules and regulations of gentleness. In this case, Garuda wanted to show respect for Indra. Since he knew that Indra's weapon must destroy something, he offered his wing. Bhaktivedanta purports. Continuing. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon Ovidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. The demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against the personality Godhead, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, the people were filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was near. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. I wonder what this is. It's a Sanskrit word for machine guns. Kshepanai Prahita Iva, as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with massive clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. Oh, sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, while either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots, the Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifice, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. At that moment, a shudder went suddenly through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyakashipu. She recalled the words of her husband Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breasts. When the demon saw his magical forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead Keshava, and full of rage, he tried to embrace him with his two arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, but Lord Adhoksija slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel, his eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Aja, Lord Brahma, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such a blessed death?" Brahma continued, "He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies meditate upon in seclusion in mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's sons has cast off his mortal coil." These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. The demigods addressed the Lord, "All obeisances unto you. You are the ruler, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunate for us, this demon who was a torment to the worlds has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." Sri Maitreya continued, "After thus killing the most formidable demon, Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the bored species, returned to his own abode, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods, headed by Brahma." Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, I've explained to you about the personality of God. It's coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master." Suta Goswami continued, "My dear Brahmana, Kshata, or Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of sage Maitreya, also known as Kosharava, and he was very pleased." What to speak of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, whose chest is marked with Srivatsa, people may take transcendental pleasure even in hearing of the works and deeds of devotees, whose fame is immortal, The personality of Godhead delivered the king of the elephants, who was attacked by an alligator and who meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, the female elephants who accompanied him were crying, and the Lord saved them from impending danger. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to him for protection, though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate him. Last two verses. O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmana. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Shonaka. In case you wanted some benedictions, they're now yours. Prabhupada writes in the purport, if one continues to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narratives of the pastimes of the Lord, at the end of this life, one is sure to be transferred to the eternal transcendental abode of the Lord. Thus, hearers are benefited both ultimately and for as long as they are in the material world. That is the supreme, sublime result of engaging in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to spare some time and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended 5 items of devotional service, namely, serve the devotees, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, worship the deity, live in a place of pilgrimage. Just performing these 5 activities can deliver one from the miserable condition of material life. That's the 19th chapter. We just read 3 chapters of Bhagavatam. 13. Note that it's not chronological. There's many things that happen between 13 and 18. Just like, you know, we're reading in the earlier parts of chapter 1, and it just continues from canto 1, chapter 13, third canto, chapter 1. The same like this. The composition of the Bhagavatam is not chronological. But it's thematic, and the presentation is to take the listener, because like even this, from the third canto, chapter 19, the storyline picks up again in the seventh canto, where the funeral for Hiranyaksha is performed by Hiranyakashipu. He speaks transcendental knowledge. He gives a wonderful Bhagavad Gita class. And then he takes a vow to kill Vishnu. He got an F in his exam. Any discussion? Just nice hearing. Lord Raha महादेव की जय। कौर पे मनंदी।